God took that opportunity to take us through a very difficult time. Going up over the side of that cliff, knowing that one little mistake is going to be the end. And when I came to the top of that cliff, I allowed the rest of the group to go ahead and I stayed by myself for a while. And that's where I finally came to know what it really is to know Jesus. I'm not asking this morning that you have a cliff to climb up. But maybe I'm asking that you have some kind of a cliff in life that will bring you to a place where you're willing to lay everything down. Where you're willing to do what you can. I don't want to state it that way. Where you're willing to give Him everything you have, holding nothing back. This has been a journey. It's been a continual journey. I didn't go home from there to my wife and everything changed. It's been a journey all these years of a married life. I'm so thankful for a wife that stuck with me. It's not the right one, Danny. Look for one that says, faithful. Actually, it's not faithful. It has a different title on there. You can find it. It's a picture of snow. Okay, he's got it. I've titled my message this morning, Faithful. And when you look at just the word faithful, there's all kinds of ways we can go with this. I have this message this morning is in two parts. The first part I have titled A Faithful Couple. We want to look at Luke chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse 5. And I'm just going to read through verse 14 if you want to follow along. Luke 1 verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah, of the course of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. That's as far as we're going to read. When we look at Zechariah and Elizabeth here, we have a couple here. Thank you, Danny. That's the correct one. We have a couple here that had no children. She was barren. And if we look back in the Bible times, we look at a wife that was barren, it was a shame to her. Much different from what it is today. Today we have a lady becomes pregnant and we remove the child. Abortion. Sad. Awful. But for her, it was considered a shame. It was a misfortune. It was a reproach. And then it says they were elderly. They were old already. So now she had two things against her. She was barren, and she was older. She was past the age of having children, we would say. They were facing difficulties. I could come down. I could have the ushers come down here and walk through the aisles here with the mic and hand it out to each one of you. And I think every one of us this morning could name a difficulty. Maybe you could name a difficulty you went through this week. That's where this message comes from. We had some difficulties this week. I was praying and asking God, where should I go? I don't know if He sent the difficulties this week or if Satan did. It doesn't matter. But this is what comes out of this. We face difficulties. We have a choice. What am I going to do with my difficulty? What am I doing with the issue that I face in life? I can run if I want to. I think we could all raise our hand and say we've done that before. We faced a difficulty, we went the other direction. Jonah did. We run. We try to get away from it. Maybe we just give up. It's too difficult, I can't do it, I quit. Maybe we get angry. By the way, every single one of these that I'm naming here, I've been guilty of. Maybe we get angry. Maybe we blame others. What should we do with the difficulties that we have? What should we do? Somebody tell me. Turn them over to the cross. I heard somebody, I think, say pray. Take them to the Father. Let's take our difficulties to the Father. That's where we're going to find our answers. Does He promise that we'll never face difficulties? No. He doesn't promise that. I don't know about Zechariah and Elizabeth. I don't know if they continued their prayers until finally they got to the place where they realized we're old. We're not going to have any more children. Maybe they got to the place where they were just satisfied with God. We're going to keep on worshiping. Look what it says about them. It says that they were perfect. I use the word perfect. They were blameless. There was another man that we looked at not too long ago, Job. He was blameless. But Zechariah and Elizabeth were blameless. Trying to find the verse here, and it talks about them being obedient. Verse 6. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Maybe it was the Ten Commandments that they were perfect in. If we look at the ordinances in the Old Testament under the Old Law, somebody know how many there were? A bunch. There were over 600. I didn't count them. That's what I read. But they were blameless. That tells me something about them. Even though they faced the difficulties in life, they still stuck with their Father. They didn't run. They were satisfied with what God had for them. Do I have so much confidence in my Heavenly Father that I'm going to continue to seek Him even though I have difficulties in my life, even though I face some real difficult situations? 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. When I look at that verse and I think, yeah, I can pray without ceasing. What does that stop? It means to never stop praying. Maybe it means that we are to never stop praying as far as morning and evening. Maybe it means in our daily walk we're supposed to be in an attitude of prayer. Can I drive a tractor? Can I drive a truck? Can I work at the factory and still have an attitude of prayer? Yes, I can. One writer said our prayer life should be a little bit like breathing. We don't get up in the morning, we go out and spend 5 minutes sitting at the table, and we breathe. And then we stop for the rest of the day. And then we come home in the evening, we sit back down at the table for 5 minutes, and we breathe. That's not how we function in life, is it? We breathe throughout the day. I think maybe that's a little bit like our prayer life is to be. Yeah, we spend time with the Father in the morning and the evening, and maybe even sometime throughout the day, but I believe our communication with Him is supposed to be all day long, where we breathe what He's got for us. We breathe in what the Holy Spirit puts into our heart. We have that connection. We're faithful in prayer. We cannot expect God to show Himself to us in our daily activities if we only spend time with Him when it's convenient. I hate to say that because I'm guilty of that one. If it's not convenient, if I don't feel like it, I don't have to spend time with Him. What about Zechariah and his wife? It looks like they had a continual relationship with God. They were blameless. Not out of necessity, but out of desire. Something else I noticed about Zechariah. When he heard from God was when he was serving. I would say he was in communion with God as he was in there, as he was burning that incense. He was a priest. He only had one opportunity in his life to do this. There were many, many priests. And by lot, they would choose which priest would get to go burn the incense. You had one opportunity in your life, maybe. Some of those never got the opportunity. But as he was serving, that's when he heard the angel speak to him. For some reason, I want to hear God's voice, but I don't want to give in to that relationship with Him because it's going to cost me something. I want it on my terms, not His. This is not an attitude of worship. Much more, it's an attitude of selfishness. God is not satisfied with our leftovers. What an example we have in the lives of these two, continuing their worship. Even when they face hardship. Something else that he told Zechariah there, he told him, says, you're going to have a son. I like to think about them here as they've been going through life, they've done without a child. Maybe they came, like I said, they came to a place where they were satisfied, they were happy with what God gave them. And then God came through and He blessed them. I'm going to give you a son. What a beautiful picture. Let's come back to us for a bit here. How many times do I, and I don't want to be negative here, but I want us to think about this. How many times do I come to God and I pray something to the Father, or maybe I just think about it as I'm going throughout my day, and I tell God, you know, God, if you're willing to do this, I will make your name great. I know the psalmist said, bless me. I think that's good. But do we bargain with God? I'm going to leave that for you to think about. Is there a place where I should bargain with God? God, if you bless me, I will make your name great. What about blessing Him even if He doesn't bless us? What about making His name great even when things are difficult? Something we need to remember, something that I continually keep forgetting, it seems like, God's purpose for me to be here is not to make me great. His purpose is to make Him great. To honor Him and to glorify Him. He wants to present us to the Father because we have made His name great. He wants to give us many, many blessings in this life. We'll look at this in a little bit here. Maybe it's time that I do a life check in my life. How is my relationship with my Father? These are some questions I ask myself. Have I been walking or following the commands He has given me? Where am I investing my time, my life? It's interesting how we take our finances. We want to invest something, so we research it really good. We want to see where we can get the best return. What about our walk with God? Maybe we should research a little bit more. How can I live today to bless God? How can I lay up treasures in heaven this week? Something for us to think about. John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. We're asked to follow the commands. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. That's a way we can prove that we love God. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him. And manifest myself to him. I'll show myself to him, or else I'll make myself real to him. I have to think about the angel that came to Zechariah here. He showed himself through that angel. Maybe we're sensing a hindrance in our prayers. It's because of our lack of obedience. I want to have this attitude of faithfulness. A lifestyle that shines with faithfulness. The second part of my message, I have titled A Faithful God. And I have a lot of things here to go through. I'll try to hurry and get through it quickly. I could probably make quite a few messages out of this. A faithful God. I would love to hear your stories this morning. How has God been faithful to you? God is always faithful. I'm going to share with you a silly little story. When we get older, we kind of start forgetting things, and I think maybe I shared this story here before, so let's blame it on age. I took my sons to an air show. When you're at an air show, you're going to be looking up a lot. The sun's bright. Your eyes hurt. You either want a hat or you want sunglasses, and I didn't have any of the two, but I had a coupon that said I can get a free hat at a certain place if I go there. They'll give me a free hat. Did you know God cares for you in even the tiniest little things in your life? He cares about that hat. We got there, and my impatience inside me says, let's go get that hat. But then I realized the paper said there's only a certain amount, and there wasn't many hats there that they give out every day. And you know what I started thinking about? We're not going to get there soon enough. I'll never get that hat. But there was something within me, and I knew it at the time, but I did not heed it. There was something within me that says, don't buy a hat. You'll get your hat. But do you know what I did? I stopped at a little stand there to the side, and I spent $20 on a hat. I'm out of $20 now. But I have a nice hat. We walked down a little ways, and we walked into the tent where the free hats were. I got another hat. I could have saved that $20. God cares about the tiny little deeds in our life, little things in our life. Why? Because He is a faithful God. I challenge you this week to take some of those things that you think aren't worth looking at to the Father and see what He does with it. He wants to give you many, many blessings. Just want to implant into each one of us here today that He wants the best for us. I'm going to read some scripture, Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. There is a condition there. Those that walk uprightly. I want us to think a little bit about Him coming back. We're going to be talking about the new birth. I'm sorry, not the new birth. But Jesus being born here in a couple of weeks. It's Christmas coming up. But think about Jesus coming to the earth, leaving the Father, leaving the beauty of heaven, coming to this sin-cursed earth, and then turning around after He was with the disciples, after He did all those miracles and things, turning around and going back to His Father again and forgetting about us. That's not what He did. But He left us some verses. He left us a promise of the Holy Spirit. But think about the verse in Psalm 23, the last verse. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. God desires us. His love. Or should I say He's desperate for us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's here. Shall follow me. His goodness, His mercy. And then He says in the end of that, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We get a little taste here, and then He takes us on to glory if we're faithful. 2 Corinthians 4:14. Turn there if you would, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to go to verse 14. Knowing that He who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, this is Paul speaking, he faced a lot, but he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on the things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Our time here is temporary. Our burdens, our struggles, our trials are temporary, but eternity is forever. May we stand and remain faithful and realize that the blessings that He has for us throughout all of eternity are forever. There is no end. I want to share a story with you this morning that my wife showed me this week. Some of you read Ann Voskamp's stuff. Hopefully I won't mess this story up too bad. But I thought I could relate it better than I could read it. The way she writes is good, but it's a little difficult to understand. Ann Voskamp had a lady come to her. I'm going to call her the crying lady. The crying lady came to her in tears because she had a son that was considering suicide. So she came to Ann and asked if she could help. They sat there for a while, and it seemed like they really weren't getting anywhere from the way I read the story. Finally, Ann said, "Let's go down to the conservatory. There's a butterfly conservatory just right down here. Let's walk down to the conservatory and go in and look at the butterflies." So they went in and they sat down and they watched the butterflies for a while. The crying lady was very dejected, but yet she was in there. She was watching the butterflies. There were some beautiful butterflies. There was one specific butterfly that she kept seeing. It would fly and had the most beautiful blue wings. She told Anne, "I want a picture of those butterflies." So they got up and they snuck through the conservatory, around the bushes, trees, whatever they had there, to see if they could get a picture of this butterfly. But to no avail, the butterflies were always flying when they had the wings open. They never landed. When they landed, they would always pull their wings together, and they were brown. Nothing beautiful, just a brown. They sat there for quite a while. Finally, the crying lady looked over to Anne and said, "It's about dead. Let's just go." She gave up. As they get up and started walking out, a park ranger comes up and quietly he says, "Stop. There's a blue butterfly on your shoulder. Stop." Anne stopped and she looked over here and there's a beautiful blue butterfly on her shoulder with his wings wide open. The park ranger said, "This never happens." He said, "These butterflies never land on people. It's just not something they do." And he said, "When they land, they never open their wings. It just never happens." Through this story, the crying lady came to realize God is faithful in the small things. God brought that little butterfly over to Anne, allowed him to land on her shoulder so she could get some beautiful pictures of it. He allowed that butterfly to stay open for a half an hour. Many other people came by and took pictures. The park ranger finally took their camera and he started taking pictures. Because these butterflies never land on people. They never open their wings when they stop. I guess I want to ask us this question this morning. Have we seen butterflies? We feel them. But have we seen butterflies? Are we looking for a God who is faithful? Or have we come to the place we face so many hurts that we just can't imagine a God that is faithful? I want to read some verses to you this morning. I'm not trying to sugarcoat our lives this morning. Trials and struggles are real. I know that all too well. So do you. But I want to read some verses this morning that talk about God's faithfulness. And as we read these verses, I'd like for us to remember this. When we seek Him with all of our being, when we come before Him, allowing Him to take our lives and to crush them for His glory, then He can take our situation and make something beautiful from the ashes of life. You don't have to turn to these. If you want to write them down and look at these throughout this week, you're welcome to. And I challenge you with that. As you're looking through Scripture, there's a verse that really strikes you. Write it down. Write it down and put it somewhere where you can see it. And God will continue to use that verse throughout the week to bless you, to speak to you. Psalm 36:5, Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and Thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. Psalm 89:1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. And verse 8 of the same chapter. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Psalm 119:90. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth and it abideth forever. Established the earth and it abideth. Leviticus 3:21. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith, without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Joshua 21:43. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which He sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that He sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. It all came to pass. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Beginning in verse 8. And I'm going to read this out of a little bit of a different translation here, but I believe it's close enough that you can follow. 2 Timothy 2, verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. I've always taken this last verse here, verse 13. I've always taken that verse as, He's so faithful, He can't deny Himself. And I wouldn't have shared this, but in my mind, I'm kind of thinking, you know, God's so good. He can't lie. He can't deny Himself. So if I'm not really walking with Him, I'm still going to be okay. Because He's faithful. And He promised us a good eternity. Let's go back and let's look at this a little bit. Verse 12, if we endure, we shall reign. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. There's another verse that talks about being ashamed of Him. He's going to be ashamed of us. But if we deny Him, turn our back on Him, He's going to deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful. That's Him. He cannot deny Himself. That's His character. He can't do wrong. He can't lie. So if I'm faithful to Him, He's going to be faithful. And when I come to the end, He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But wait a minute, there's another side to this. Back in verse 12, if we deny Him, He also will deny us. God cannot lie. So if I am not faithful to Him, what's He going to do? We've set our eternity, haven't we? If I turn my back on Him, He's so true, He's so right, He's so honest, He's God, He doesn't have a choice but to turn His back on us. He's just. He's a God that will not tolerate sin. Too many times I think, oh yes, He will. No, He will not. He will not tolerate sin. He is faithful. There's so many more scriptures we could go to. We're not going to this morning. We're going to bring this to a close. I guess I just really want us to realize this morning, God is faithful. He cannot lie. He wants us to be faithful. If we expect to spend eternity with Him, then we need to be faithful. There's no other way around it. We need to be faithful. Few thoughts here in closing. Only God can take us from despair and rejoicing. He gives us hope when we feel hopeless. He helps us to forgive when we think we can't. He teaches us that our identity is in Him, not in what we do. He gives us courage to face an unknown future. When we wear the rags of ashes, He gently gives us a coat of praise. He gives us sufficient grace in this life and full joy in heaven. May we be faithful, because our God is always faithful. Would you stand this morning as we pray? Father God, again this morning, we're reminded that You are faithful. It's who You are. We're also reminded, Father, that we face a lot of issues in life. And Lord, we confess that we haven't remained faithful all the time. We confess, Father, that we ran. We confess, Father, that we got angry. But Lord, we thank You so much that when we confess, You remove. You're faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and we bless You for that this morning. Father, would You speak into our hearts this morning? Would You give us that courage that we need this week, even though we've got difficulties that are waiting for us right outside these doors? Father, that You would give us courage as we leave to know that You're faithful. As we come to You and lay everything before You, Father, You give us strength to walk the path that You've laid ahead of us. Father, forgive us for our doubts. Lord, we love You. We ask that You would dismiss us with Your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.